So you did apply?
I did not apply because I don't have like the paid developer version. And then I talked to Chance, and he was like, "It's honestly, like you said, it's easier to like cover everything from home than it would be from like going over there, especially as a developer." Because he said, as a developer, you go, you watch the keynote, and then you go home.
Yeah, unless you're there to do the sessions and stuff. I mean, they do have those sessions, which are, I mean, you do learn a lot from the, you actually learn more from the State of the Union address. The WWDC keynote that's for the public, I mean, it's, you learn a lot, obviously, about what's coming new and stuff, but it's very, very high level, whereas the State of the Union address is like way more in depth. And then each developer's session is way more in depth on each of the new technologies. And you have like hands-on or access to the engineers and things like that, that can help you answer questions and stuff like that. So it's like a hierarchy. So you get the basic keynote, then the State of the Union goes deeper than each individual session. And why do I look like E.T. when he was sick? I don't know why.
You went like blue for a second there. You're back now.
Yeah.
That was weird.
What is up with that, dude? Like, I don't know if it's like my white balance or something. Oh, that is. I got auto white balance on.
Oh, there you go.
Turn it off. Sorry.
But no, yeah, you're right. The keynote is like the markety stuff that everybody sees and everybody covers. And then you start to go down into, I mean, there's a reason why it's called a developer like membership. You know, you're supposed to be making apps or some, at least something along those lines. Not just right. Reviewing the betas. But
yeah.
But let's see. I mean, what do you... Obviously, like, iOS 19 is going to be announced at WWDC, but, like, I'm very curious as to see what Apple does with it, because obviously we're seeing all these, like, leaks about it being a visual overhaul and not a functional overhaul. So, I'm just curious to see what Apple really does and how they sell it, especially, and how they talk about Apple Intelligence.
Yeah, I think it's time. Like, I mean, iOS has... more or less looked the same for several years now. Like, I'm talking about going way back. It's, yeah, I mean, like there's been subtle changes. What's that?
Like over a decade, I think.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, yeah, it could use a definite, especially now with their, like, because on one hand you have, there's a lot of difference in the functionality of iOS as far as the home screen customization and stuff like that. But I feel like, now is probably a good time to give change it a nice overhaul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last one was when we went from the skeuomorphism to like that flat design, the flat like bright design. I think it was 6 to 7, iOS 6
iOS
to 7.
7. Yeah, yeah. That was the last massive change to the look. Now it has evolved significantly since iOS 7. Yeah. Like it kind of, I won't say pulled back, but it wasn't as drastic as they iterated on it, but it was still a massive change from 6 to 7. And I think that's the type of change that we're looking at here from 18 to 19 for sure.
Yeah. I think 7 is when they gave us the control center. Remember swiping down from the bottom with that? Like,
yeah.
Remember it had the glassy look, quote unquote, you know, it was like kind of transparent.
They dialed it back some. Yeah,
they did. They kind of like went between iOS 6 and 7, and that's kind of where we're living right now, I think. Which has been fine, but like you said, I'm ready for something a little bit different, so your phone feels different, right? Because every year we get the new phone, but it kind of feels the same, especially after you load up all your apps and everything. Everything just kind of feels the same. So now it's which goes to show you that like software is so important, man, and just like changing up a little bit makes it feel like it's a new product.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like up until now there really wasn't a like. With Vision OS, which is a beautiful interface, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like they realized that and they're like, let's pull from that. And that's what the rumors from like John Prosser and Mark Gurman are basically stating, that it's going to be heavily inspired by Vision OS, which to me totally makes sense because it feels like a futuristic sort of UI.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see how they do it because, obviously, Vision OS isn't on 3D like plane, and they're trying to bring, I think, the essence of that to make it almost like trick the mind into thinking it's 3D. So I'm curious to see what it looks like on a 2D plane or a plane like on the iPhone. But I'm excited for it. Circle icons, translucent design. I'm sure there'll be like a lot of little quirks that Apple will throw in there that are going to be specific to iOS and hopefully iPadOS. And I'm honestly on the iPad, I think it would look cooler because of the larger display, a little bit more screen real estate to play with. So I'm hoping they don't like divvy it up where it's like iOS 19 is a new look and then iPadOS 20 is when we get the iPad new look. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't think so. That would be really weird. Now, like a feature parody, I could see there being some differences there, but the overall look, that would be strange.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think, I agree with you. I think it would be, it looks, the larger the display, the better it's going to look.
100%. And I mean, have you, so I don't know if you know iDevice Help on Twitter and YouTube. Have you seen them? That guy? Did you see what he, he collabed with somebody by the name of Shane that I've actually never heard of, so shout out to them. But they've made a little app clip which lets you jump into a very, very short kind of version of what iOS 19 could look like, and you can interact with it a little bit, like going to the settings and the music app and things like that. So if you guys do want to check it out, it works on any phone that can run an app clip to see what it kind of looks like on your phone. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, and again, I think it's a good direction. I think Vision OS is a good foundation for a new redesign. And I'm excited to see it. It's going to be cool, I think.
No, it'll definitely be fun with iOS 19, covering all that. So definitely stay tuned because we'll be covering everything from beginning to end, you know, iOS, iPadOS. And then I wonder if macOS will kind of adopt that same look.
Now, right. That's one I could see waiting.
Yeah.
That's one I could see, like, there being them holding off until the next version. Like, if anything, I could see that. I don't see that happening with, like, iPadOS and iOS, but I do, if any interface was going to lag behind, I think it would be macOS.
I agree. I feel like that'd be too drastic of a different differentiation for a lot of people. You know, like, I feel like it would throw a lot of people off if they jumped into their iPad or into their Mac computer and it looked completely different.
Yeah, you know? Although I do agree that it is probably, it too is due for a redesign. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I agree.
I think it's good timing overall. I agree with it. At first I was like, why are they doing this? But then the more I started thinking about it, the more I was like, yeah, I think it's time for them to look.
So then what do you think they're going to do with Apple Intelligence, man, with iOS 19? Or do you think we're done with the Apple Intelligence updates with 18, or do you think 18.5 is going to bring something?
I think we're pretty much done.
Until, like, 19?
Yeah, I think until iOS 19, we're pretty much, this is what we're going to see with Apple Intelligence.
You sound so excited.
Yeah, on one hand, I mean, there are some cool things that it brings to the table. I think the summaries, the priority notifications, that can be a handy feature. It could be wrong too, as we know, but oftentimes it is pretty useful.
Yeah,
I find value in it, and also the writing tools to a lesser degree. I think those are cool. The ChatGPT integration, I don't know, still kind of a mixed bag to me. But what are your thoughts on it?
The state of Apple Intelligence, I tend to agree with you, where it's at right now. I don't touch the writing tools really. Visual intelligence is fun to play with, and I've used it in a handful of occasions to like look something up to find it on Amazon, right? And like you said, I think the summarizations, the prioritized notifications, I think those are the coolest parts. But things like the for fun stuff, like the image playgrounds and the Genmojis and stuff like that, for the most part, I just haven't really played with. Like even the other day, I went to go, I think I tweeted about the Marlins, like baseball started, and there's no Marlin emoji, right? So I was like, oh, perfect opportunity to use Genmoji to create one, right? So I created the Marlin. But instead of making it an emoji, Twitter was taking it in as an image. And it was like messing everything up, so I ended up not posting it. So it's like little things like that where like it works to an extent, but then not really. And there's just the full integration just feels like it's not there yet, maybe. I don't know. But there are some things that are nice, some things that are for fun that I don't use. I'm just waiting for the Siri on-screen awareness and cross-app actions. That's where I think it's going to be really, really helpful.
Yep. And the fact that, I mean, and that's been discussed,
yeah,
like over and over, but yeah, the fact that we don't have the Siri, the next generation Siri, we have the, mm-hmm. the next generation Siri UI, like with yeah. a little thing going around it, which is cool, right?
Yeah.
And we have Type to Siri and we have integration with ChatGPT, but the real thing that was impressive at WWDC when this was shown off was the Siri on-screen awareness, mm-hmm. the contextual, being able to do things within apps and stuff like that. And Apple is definitely laying the building blocks. We've seen it in the 18.4 code. Like, it was expected to be in 18.4, I believe. But it just doesn't work that well, apparently, yet. And
I mean, it had to be expected. They were promoting it with commercials, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder what happened in the back end that really slowed them down and made them put a pause on it. Not a pause, or just delayed it, obviously.
Well, I think John Gruber hit it on the nail on the head. Like, it didn't actually work. Like, they never had this working when it was basically a mock-up, pretty much, because they didn't show it to anyone on back channel. They didn't show it to just like a handful of people. They didn't even demonstrate it to where it was like, let me show you, right?
Yeah.
It just wasn't seen at all. And so that indicates that this was just a concept or a mock-up, and they didn't really have it working. Mm-hmm. That being said, in 18.4, we're starting to see more things. Like, for instance, in the there's some Siri actions, new Siri actions for different settings. And it's extremely verbose and granular. So, like, for instance, in the Safari app, you'll see all these different actions to do, change little bitty settings in Safari that you would normally have to go into settings, deep down into settings app to change. Well, now you can do that with shortcuts. So that's going to all tie in to this new Siri on-screen awareness and the contextual stuff. And all that is going to allow you to power, to use your device like a power user using Siri.
Yeah.
How it works is still to be seen. Like, even once
you got to be like an expert too to figure out what you're doing, you know? Like, it won't be very accessible to a lot of people. Like, they'll be physically able to do it, but they're gonna have to watch tutorials and videos and figure, they're gonna have to want to kind of set that all up for themselves to, like you said, be a power user.
I think Apple is taking some steps there. Like, one of the other things about the new Siri is that you can ask it how to do things, and even now it'll tell you like the steps that you need to take for a lot of stuff. Like, you can say, how do I enable read receipts? And I haven't actually tried that, but I would assume they would tell you where to go to do that. Actually, let me just do it real quick.
Yeah, it definitely does, because I've seen, like, I've done like how to enable dark mode or little things like that, and they'll give you the bullet points on how to do it, and it's correct. So it knows how to teach you to do things. But on that note that you mentioned about the on-screen awareness and the smarter Siri and how it was mostly a mock-up, that makes me think, like, we need to go back to in-person live keynotes. They wouldn't have done that.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't have done that. Absolutely. You know?
That is, dude, to me, I understand why it was necessary during COVID.
Yeah, clearly, 100%.
Right? And I understand why if you're Apple, you would find this beneficial, because you have way more control. There's never going to be a mistake in your presentation. You're never going to run into problems because you just fix it in post, or you reshoot it, or whatever the case may be. They're going to get it right. Yeah. It's going to look exactly like they want it. Right. And that's also kind of interesting, because the last WWDC keynote where they showed all these features that never existed, that shows how intentional it was, right?
Yeah. Because
they could have easily said, this isn't, oh, let's go back and edit that out.
Yeah.
Whatever. No, they shipped that. So, but I just think that it just brings more humanity.
Yeah.
It just makes it feel more real. Like, it just, there's something about having, like, it being live, you feel like you're a part of something a little bit. Whereas this is just, it just feels corporate. You know, it feels very Tim Cook-ish, very Bean Counter-ish.
Yeah.
You know, where you're not, like, it's just, it just lacks a little bit of real. That's all I can say.
I agree. Like, even because, you know, I would watch the live keynote from my like computer, and even then you still felt like you were part of it, even though I was watching it from across the country. And even like the little like when they would go show off a new feature, and you would like the anticipation of, will it work, will it not work, like, and even if it does, like, I do think that if this was a live keynote, maybe A, it would have been a little bit more ready if they were going to show it off, obviously, and like it would have been okay if like it didn't work fully on display, like on a live presentation. I think more so than how it's been going this way, where they presented it, like you said, there was definitely intention to have it out within the year, and now it's not coming out. So I wish we can go back to the live keynote. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I don't see, like you said, I don't see why Apple would want to, because they have so much more control. But it does bring that kind of sense of like the underdog, like the smaller company, the more like the familial feel of being there, a part of it when they're releasing new features and new products and stuff like that. So that's casting my vote to bring back live keynotes.
It feels like you're in the moment.
Yeah,
like, there's something to be said about being in the moment, and like, it was a different era back then. I admit, yeah. Like, even with Twitter, like, it was just like you were a part of a community. Like,
I remember like live tweeting. You know, I mean, we still do that now, but it was different.
it just felt like this was an event that almost like you were attending this event,
mm-hmm.
when obviously you weren't. But it felt like we were all like, quote unquote, in this together, right? Yeah. Whereas with a pre-recorded event, it just doesn't hit the same. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I could watch it now, but I could also watch it 10 minutes later or however long later, and it's not going to matter, because it's just, it is, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just it just doesn't feel as in the moment. And because it's not, right? It's a pre-recorded thing. Apple's probably watched and edited this numerous times. And we know there's just nothing that's going to be like, there's just no chance of anything going wrong. Not that we want that, but it's just like,
it takes away from it.
Yeah, it's just like, it does. It's not real, dude.
Like, it's like my comparison is a live sporting event. It's like watching the Super Bowl live versus watching a cinematic recap of it the next day.
You know? That is a perfect analogy.
Like everybody's right, like rooting for their team together, you know, like, or like in the Olympics or something like that. Like that was part of the allure. It's like, what are they going to release? How are people going to react? Did you see that? Did you watch it live? Did you see when like the iPhone didn't work? You know, like little things like that, that kind of like make, like you said, brings us all together, making us feel like we're experiencing this at the same time, versus this, like, again, it's lost its personality, in my opinion. They're cool.
So much. They're and even cool, like the crowd cheering, even though that was often cringe, like, it still, like, it was a good type of cringe, right?
Yeah.
Like, but to not have that, to just, it, like you said, even, all right, so your analogy was perfect. It's
thank
like,
you, thank you.
Versus a live Super Bowl versus a cinematic recap of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would even say sports don't hit the same, even if it's this, if you're watching just a recording of that sporting event.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just something about it. You know, it's not live. You know, the ending is already determined. And yeah, you're watching it, and hopefully no one spoils it for you, but it just doesn't hit the same as you are there in the moment, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So it's a psychological thing, not sure, but that hits the nail on the head. I really think Apple should go back to in-person keynotes and live keynotes. And
if they want to start with like control, like just do like hardware keynotes first. Cause like, obviously if you show off an iPad or an iPhone, they're not really going to show off the software too much. You know, I get the WWDC thing, and I'm sure there's a lot of moving parts, and software can be hit or miss with demos, and you want to make sure you get it right. And like you said, the catalyst for all this was COVID, and at the time it made sense for the first 2 years maybe. But I really hope that some way, somehow, they slowly start to bring live events back, because it just makes it more fun at the end of the day for everybody. And I think Apple would benefit from it, even if something were to go like quote unquote wrong, you know?
Yeah, and it did. I mean, it's not like things went wrong plenty of times. I can think back to so many different situations, mm-hmm. where things did not go right, but that's fine. No one's No one even thinks about that, but they do remember that it felt real.
Yeah.
And that's not a feeling that we get now. It's just overly polished, man. And it just feels like, I don't know, there's just a lack of realism to it.
Like, even the lore of the iPhone, I'm sure people have heard, with demoing the first iPhone, it was like a certain specific set of actions that needed to be done. If not, the phone would break, it would go into springboard mode or whatever. So knowing that after the fact, because it was a live event, and in the moment you didn't know that was happening, but after hearing about that, it even adds more to what the iPhone meant and the launch of it, and oh, you were there when the iPhone happened? That's crazy. Do you remember that? And now it's we're all just watching it in 8K from YouTube or something, on our TV.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, they don't have a Steve Jobs as a presenter. I mean, they're just, dude was a master.
Yeah.
For all of his faults. It wasn't he was the guy that was making this stuff, but his presentation skills were second to none. I don't think anyone could ever dispute that, dude. Mm-hmm. He just had that sort of presentation style and effect that just worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I get where Apple's coming from, but just hopefully maybe they'll start to dial it back a little bit with the polishness of the pre-recorded presentations.
Yeah. So Apple, we'll if you're see. Listening, you got two votes for live presentations.
I'm sure they're taking this seriously in the count now, because I said this and you said this.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sure they were could you imagine if we tried to show off Apple Intelligence live at WWDC last year? Oh, man. That would have been crazy.
I understand, because also it's generative. So it's you don't really know necessarily.
That's so true.
Yeah. So that could be, I mean, I could see how that could be scary as... But at the same time, yeah.
Yeah. And for all, I guess to go a little bit segue into the Apple Intelligence conversation, the fact that they're integrated with ChatGPT, I think is, on paper, it seems really good. But for some reason, even though ChatGPT is technically built into my iPhone right now, because we're running 18.4, I still find myself going to the ChatGPT app every time. And I wonder... Technically, I guess there's less friction using Siri, but I don't know what it is, and I don't know if you use it at all or if that's in your flow at all. But it's way easier for me to just go to the ChatGPT app and do whatever I need to do in there versus pulling up Siri and using that kind of interface to contact quote unquote ChatGPT. So I think Apple also has to kind of fix that, because having ChatGPT as a backend I think is fantastic, but it has to be easier to use ChatGPT through Siri than it is to just go to ChatGPT. If not, then it's all for nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way Apple set the rules for the way ChatGPT responds. As we've touched on that before. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's things that you can do with ChatGPT in the app that you can't really do with Siri, right?
Yeah.
There's quite a bit, actually.
A lot. No, yeah, so, I'm all in on GPT right now. Which is crazy. I mean, I'm sure people have seen all the artwork, the fan art that's been coming out the last couple of days. I've spent a couple hours of my last 2 days just playing with that, which is fun. But I'm a big, I see the appeal for Apple Intelligence and AI and ChatGPT now, and I can see how as Siri gets to know you, as ChatGPT gets to know you, it can learn your life a little bit better, because ChatGPT knows a lot about me now at this point, and it takes that context into consideration whenever I ask it questions, which is wild, right? So I see the future.
Give me an example.
So I told you, right? Something happened, I probably pinched a nerve or strained my neck or something the last 10 days. And what did I say to it the other day? Oh, and then I was using patches, right? Not to get a little graphic, but I was using lidocaine patches to kind of help with the pain a little bit. And at one point, one of them kind of irritated my skin, so I took it off. And I told GPT that a couple of days ago. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, GPT, this is how I feel. What should I do to kind of help continue the recovery process? It's like, oh, use your heating pad for 15 minutes. But if your skin is still irritated, maybe avoid using the heating pad directly on your skin, put a towel in between it. Little things like that where it remembers what I'm talking about. right? And I'm like, whoa. Like, I didn't bring that up to you today. I told you that 3 days ago, and you're still bringing that up. So the contextual awareness, that it's good and bad. I see you smirking. Whatever you want to tell, just know that ChatGPT will always remember what you said in the past.
Yeah. So,
for better or for worse.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is cool, though. Like, you couldn't imagine Siri ever doing something like that.
No way.
It ain't.
No way.
Yeah.
And like, it's hard to give Siri a follow-up question when you are relying on GPT, because it'll, like, forget what's going on. It's kind of weird, and I've tried it. So I'm just hoping Apple kind of figures it out. And because I think once they do figure it out, just like Apple does in Apple fashion, they're never first, but they're usually best. And I'm hoping that's kind of where we're going. It was just the way that they marketed it. It was confusing to a lot of people, especially people who aren't in it day to day. Like, some people don't even care about Apple Intelligence. A lot of people don't care about it right now, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so. Like, it's okay, but it's not, like, for instance, with the iPhone 16e, which we really didn't talk about because we have a secret episode that never aired because it was just messed up. The audio was messed up. Anyway, we talked about the 16e a lot in that episode, and it's like one of the selling points of this phone is that it's Apple Intelligence compatible. But
yeah,
I don't think the people that are buying the 16e are really going to care about that too much, at least now.
Yeah.
In the future, when you get the contextual stuff, I think it'll be a much more compelling thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the 16E was built with Apple Intelligence in mind, but I don't think that's the key selling point of that device. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes, and I think it will get better. I think Apple realizes that they need to get better in this and that they are working on it. I think they are serious about it, but I also think that it is concerning that they felt that they could, like,
throw it under the rug. Like, oh, people hopefully don't, they won't, if I delete this ad off of YouTube, like, we'll be good.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, so 18.4 came out last week?
RC was this week, right?
Oh, it was this week. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you guys should be getting it Monday, Tuesday, right? The public release should be Monday, Tuesday. Next week.
Okay, right? So that was interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So 18.4 came out with new emoji, the RC, new emoji,
mm-hmm.
Some new Apple Intelligence features, such as the prioritized notifications,
yep.
Which is cool.
Which I like.
You also had, there's some other things in there as well, and let me see.
We had the new food section for News Plus.
Oh, yeah.
The recipe new food, catalog.
New food section, which is really cool because
I like it a lot. Like,
I do too. I think it's really neat, especially on the iPad. It looks really good. I mean, you get this big display, and I think it alludes to the upcoming HomePad that, you know, have the integrated timers on there. I don't think they created this whole food section just for the obscure News Plus subscriber.
And it's like a subcategory. It's like in News Plus, in the food section, in the recipe catalog.
Yeah. So I think there's more smoke here.
Yeah.
Right? I agree. And we've seen it in the code in 18.4 and iOS decoded. We talked about all the different details that really kind of lend credence to the rumor that this HomePad is coming out sooner than later. And I think, that's going to be part of it. We also got some new ambient music utility. It's not truly like its own standalone app. It is an app, but it's like a mini app.
Yeah.
And you can launch it via the control center. And then basically there's four different ambient music channels. And within each of those channels, there's certain playlists that you can configure, or you can configure your own playlist if you want to, which is interesting. But it's a pretty interesting new feature, I guess. What do you think about it?
I think it's more so in that same light of like the food section. I think there's more than meets the eye with this thing, right? Because I think it's just something, because it is, when you do start it up in the control center, it starts playing, and then you go into like your multitasking, it's recognized as a standalone app. Obviously, there's nothing else you can do besides pause, play, and scrub through the timeline. But I think it'll be kind of like a one of those like static apps that lives on this new home pad. If you just want to have some ambient music playing, like you say, hey, blank, play this, and it'll start playing those sounds. Because before we had ambient sounds, they were just, again, in like a sub menu inside like the hearing option in Control Center or something like that.
Accessibility.
So it was like deep in there. So I just think it's more so the UI looks like it belongs on a larger display that's just going to live statically in a living room, in a kitchen. Easy to interact with one finger, but obviously works way more with voice. So I think it's just more so alluding to a new product versus something that's like functionally amazing. It's a nice little add-on, little added bonus.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then another big thing, obviously, is the visual intelligence shortcut that's available in Control Center, which you can assign to the action button now, which means that the iPhone 15 Pro now has access to visual intelligence through the action button, which is nice.
Nice. That is a big
one. Previously didn't have that.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other little stuff in there. Robot vacuum support over Matter, which is nice.
We need to come out with a video about Matter because even I don't really get it that well.
Yeah, so I actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. I do have
that one wasn't in the planned, works. I swear.
Yeah, I do have one in the works. I was waiting for the level lock folks to enable Matter on my smart lock because I need that enabled.
Okay.
Because I was going to walk through that and just talk about why the difference between Matter and Thread and when what all that actually means. Mm-hmm. And there's definite benefits to having both. And they're different technologies and they serve different purposes. And I'm going to walk through that detailed here in the upcoming video for sure.
Yeah, because like obviously we got like the Matter support, like HomeKit now supports Matter devices. That happened like a year ago now at this point. And like, for instance, like these lights back here behind me, they're Govi lights. They're supported. They're Matter support or Matter enabled, I guess. But like, I don't really know how to put it into my home app. You know, like I still go into the Govi app and control it. So okay. Yeah,
we're gonna help you with that.
I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to listen. You know, make my life easier. And I think Jeff is the perfect man for that.
I don't know about that, but we'll try. We'll give it a shot. But yeah, man. So that's what it is. That is iOS 19 that we're looking forward to. That is WWDC. That is 18.4. That is Apple Intelligence, iPhone 16e, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to talk about? I do have some other stuff in the works too that I am working on.
We did release I was working on the iPad Buyer's Guide for about a week.
That's out. Yeah.
If you guys want to check that out, I even made my own little graphic to kind of illustrate exactly which iPad is for who. So nice. I was pretty proud of that one. If you guys want to check that one out,
which
iPad you should get. Because even though it looks confusing on the surface, I think it's actually pretty easy to decide which iPad you want nowadays or which one you need.
I think so too. I like your 90% comment, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It's true. All iPads can do the same thing. And then it's kind of like that 10% difference where it's like, oh, do you upgrade a little bit more and then a little bit more? And then if you get the iPad Pro, then you know who you are if you're really going to need all that it brings or if you just want it because you want it kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah.
So
and iPad Buyer's Guide. I also have this little guy. I don't know where yet. All right. So
talk to me.
We're cracking this guy open here. And upgrading the storage. Ooh, so
that's what I'm ready for.
Stay tuned for that. That's coming this coming week. So,
okay.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Have you, now tell me a little bit about that. Because, and I'm sure we'll learn more. But does A, I'm sure that voids some sort of warranty. All right. And then maybe?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that's always a gray area. Like, I guess it depends on if your storage is having a problem, then technically there's a warranty issue. But I don't know, man. Like, there's consumer protection laws against that sort of thing where you can't just void a warranty just because someone opened your device, right? Okay. But at the same time, there are some, it just depends, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you can, so you're upgrading the storage, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. the RAM is unified now, so you can't really play with that anymore. Mm-mm. Interesting. So I'm curious. Would it be an upgrade to the storage? Would it be faster? Is it kind of just a proof of concept? Okay.
Yeah. Not only faster, but also more dense. So I'm going up to 2 terabytes. This is the entry level Mac Mini right? So I'm taking this from the entry level, which is a significant savings in dollars, probably. Right? Like, significant. Like, you're saving hundreds by going this route. So,
because I think it's $200 every time you go up. So you go 512, 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes. So that's like a $600 increase in price, right?
Yeah. I believe so. I can't remember the math right now, but I know it's not a small amount that you're going to be saving by doing this. Even after you take into account the cost of the SSD,
you're still
saving a lot of money. So that just shows you, it's crazy. Like, Apple's markup on these drives is just nuts.
So, wild.
Yeah.
And then if you want to trade it in, you still get nothing for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, so I'm definitely curious to see how that one turns out. Beautiful. But that's everything we got this week, man. I mean, is there anything? What else we got in the pipeline? Oh, MacBook Air. I did pick up the sky blue one. So, where'd it go? Ba-doom. Kind of like the color. Sweet.
I do too. Yeah.
You know, I got some content coming on this one, a little review, and probably some accessories with this guy. And then, that's what we got next week.
Yeah. Nice. Thunderbolt 4 or Thunderbolt 5, got some stuff on that. Hopefully I can post that today. That's the goal. So let's just go ahead and wrap this up so I can get after back it. To get back to work.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So if you appreciate this video, if you appreciate this podcast, be sure to subscribe. And also, we have memberships with new wallpaper every single month. That looks amazing. Actually, Fernando, I think, showed that off in his iPad video.
Yep.
And it looks good. So definitely check that out. Appreciate all those that subscribe. Appreciate all those that comment on our videos as well. So definitely comment, because we read them. We read all,
we read all of them.
For better or for worse. For better or for
good,
worse.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. All right, man. Well, talk to you soon. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Have a good weekend. Peace. Also, shout out to all the new channel members. I feel we got a few new ones recently. So
shout out to you guys. Thank you, guys. See ya.
Right. Peace.